life and activities, so please read them in your order of service and feel free to take it home and look it over again. I have a few other announcements that have been given to me here. Our Time, Talent, and Treasure silent auction begins today, and it'll be going on for the next two Sundays. So stop in the social hall and sign up or place a bid. Another reminder, our Hope Center winter clothes drive is on, so if you have any unused or lightly used hats, coats, mittens, etc., the bins are out there, and Diane McBain takes them in every week to the Hope Center. And after the service today at 11:45 in Classroom 1 is a Green Sanctuary meeting. If anybody's interested in green things here around the church, our Suic fruit and nut sale is going on now, and there's order forms in the sanctuary, and you can see either Jerry Flakus or myself to place an order. And while you're out there, you might want to sign the petition for to move away from fossil fuels if you are so inclined. And I invite you to greet those sitting around you. If you are visiting us today, we particularly welcome you and invite you to please sign the guest ledger on the visitor's table in the foyer. There's a variety of information on the table about Unitarian Universalism. Help yourself to anything that interests you. I'll be in the social hall after the service if you have any questions about our church. Or if you've been visiting for a while and you would like information on becoming a member, I'd be happy to talk to you about that. If you are visiting with your children, it's our custom for the children to remain with us until after the story for all ages, at which time they go to their religious education classes. The child is welcome to join them or remain in the service. If you'd like to go along with your child and observe the classes, please feel free to do so. The nursery is just out the door across the hall if there's a need for childcare during the service. And our RE classes end at 11:15, at which time you can pick up your children. We always enjoy getting to know guests or visitors to our church, so if any members have brought guests and would like to introduce them, or if any guests would like to introduce themselves and feel comfortable doing so, now would be a good time. Everyone is invited to gather in the social hall after the service for refreshments and conversation. The conversation is a good place to gather and continue discussing the service, or if you have any questions for our minister about his service, he would be out there too. Please put your cell phones on the silence mode during the service, and I hope you find this morning's service inspiring, stimulating. Our speaker today is our own Reverend James Hobart. And I hope you enjoyed the service.
We are one, one in ministry, one in association. And we gather this morning to honor lives lived in ministry. We light our chalice in remembrance of those who have gone before, for the wisdom and love shared, for achievements which inspired, and for creativity which enlarged our vision. We light this chalice in gratitude for lives of loyalty and service, for those who have maintained the freedom of this pulpit, who have spoken the truth in love, and whose companionship has enriched our lives. We light our chalice in celebration of all those who have ministered to and with us, rejoicing in the treasures and gifts they brought to this beloved religious community. And now let us rise in body or in spirit and join together in our opening hymn, number 145.
Join me in the responsive reading, number 637, in the dark blue hymnal. I'll read the block print, and if you would read the italics. A litany of atonement. For remaining silent when a single voice would have made a difference. For each time that our fears have made us rigid and inaccessible, we forgive ourselves and each other and begin again in love. For each time that we have struck out in anger without just cause, we forgive ourselves and each other and begin again in love. For each time that our greed has blinded us to the needs of others, we forgive ourselves and each other and we begin again in love. For the selfishness which sets us apart and alone, we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. For falling short of the admonitions of the Spirit, we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. For losing sight of our unity, forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. For those and for so many acts, both evident and subtle, which have fueled the illusion of separateness, we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
It says green. There it is. There it is. Time for the story. And if people would like to come down to the front, they're invited. Adults, children, the lame, the able, everybody that would like to come down is invited. So I'm going to tell you the story of the flaming chalice. Anybody seen a flaming chalice around here? Yeah? Where is it? Right behind me. Okay, so here's the story of the flaming chalice. Years ago, during World War II, there were many people living in Europe who were arrested, who were put in prison, and some were put to death. And there were many others who were in danger of arrest and prison and death. And the reasons that were given for this inhuman treatment were that because of their religion or their politics or their nationality or their race, they were unfit to live. Well, here in the United States, there were some Unitarians deeply concerned about these crimes against humanity, and they came together in Boston to develop a plan to help people who were in danger to escape. And they established an organization called the Unitarian Service Committee, today called the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, to do this work. And they chose a Unitarian minister, Charles Joy, to be the director of the service committee. Well, during World War II, many people fearing for their lives were trying to leave their own countries and seeking to go to places like England or Sweden or Switzerland or the United States where they would be safe. Those in danger and those trying to help them often could not speak the same language, so it was difficult for them to communicate. And Reverend Charles Joy thought, well, it would be helpful if the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee had a symbol, a sign, that people who could not understand one another's languages would know meant, we will help you. Well, one of the people that the service committee helped escape was an artist whose name was Hans Deutsch. And Charles Joy asked him if he would design a symbol to print on the Unitarian Service Committee's signs and papers. And this symbol would let those in danger know that they could get help there. And the symbol would look important to the governments and the soldiers and the police who had to approve people leaving for a safe country. In thinking about what kind of sign he would draw, Hans Deutsch remembered an old symbol of peace and religious freedom that was used in the country of Czechoslovakia hundreds of years before. It was a chalice, a kind of cup, and in the middle of the chalice was a flame. And Hans Deutsch suggested to Charles Joy that the Unitarian Service Committee use this flaming chalice symbol. And ever since, for more than 70 years, the flaming chalice has been used by the Service Committee, and everybody who sees it knows, oh, those people are with the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. Well, about 40 years ago, some Unitarian churches began to use the flaming chalice too. And they began to light a chalice at the beginning of their worship service, just as we have done this morning. And very quickly, other Unitarian Universalist congregations adopted this practice of lighting a chalice at the beginning of their service. And before very long, just about every Unitarian Universalist congregation was lighting a chalice. Well, what does it mean that we Unitarian Universalists use this symbol? One important thing it means that wherever you see a flaming chalice, you know you are among Unitarian Universalists. And even more important, it tells others and it reminds us that we will help. We support peace and justice, compassion, and loving ways for all people around the earth. So let's remember this story whenever we come together and light a flaming chalice. It reminds us and it tells others that we Unitarian Universalists believe in helping all people, especially in helping those who are in danger. So there you have it, the story of the flaming chalice. Try to remember it each week as we light our chalice here at Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. So now it's time for the young people to go to their RE classes, and we're going to sing a song called Go Now in Peace. Some of you may have heard it before. It will be played through once, and you'll find it in your order of service. What number is it? It's number 413. So, we'll see you later. Have a good morning.
Now is the time in our service where we may share our joys and concerns. If you would like to share, please raise your hand and an usher will bring you a microphone. State your name and your joy or concern, and I will light a candle to commemorate your wishes. I will begin by lighting our first candle in memory and commemoration of all the strife and negative things that do go on in our world, in hopes that there can be happy, peaceful solutions.
Christy, if you'd light a candle of concern for my friend Luann, who had a tumor removed from her spinal cord this week.
I'm Amy. Please light a candle of joy for our son Caleb, who turns 7 tomorrow.
My name is Lynn. Two more feet have touched the earth. My niece had a little baby boy. So a candle of joy for the little guy. We don't know his name yet.
My name is Beth. I guess a shared candle of concern and joy. My stepfather, Ken, had to have another surgery on Friday to correct a blockage from his previous surgery 2 months ago. And we're still hoping for the best for him, but it's still kind of a tough time. And the joy is that it was my parents, my mom and my stepdad's 23rd anniversary the day after his surgery, and we were there to celebrate it with them.
Hi, I'm Angel. One candle of joy for the benefit that Brother Gus was involved with, Kyle's Corner, a big success. It was nice to see him on the catwalk. Yes, the catwalk baby. He was too sexy for my eyes. It was wonderful. I think they made a lot of money. The other is a concern for just my own self and my situation, which is getting scary. We're taking care of my children, and like everyone else in this economy, it's getting scary.
My name is Tom. Could you light a candle in memory of my cousin, Sue Kaiser, who passed away this past week from complications of an organ transplant she received?
I'm Al. it would be wrong to ask for a candle of concern for the Red Sox, so I won't do that. But I would like a candle of joy lit for this congregation and the energy and the work behind the scenes. Having been a long-term member, I can't remember a year that has started out with such optimism, hard work. This is going to be a great year.
I'm Sue. Can you light a candle of joy for my mom's cousin who has an aggressive form of leukemia and probably won't be with us much longer? Candle of concern.
Candle of joy, please, for a friend of mine, Jim Hilgas, who just received a lung transplant after waiting for 5 years.
Let us now join our hearts and minds in a period of meditation and reflection and prayer. We are held together by an invisible link with the earth on which we live and move and have our being. We are each part of a mystic oneness with all who have gone before, of prophets and poets, fathers and mothers, saints and sages. We are members one of another in religious community, sharing our joys and sorrows, our victories and defeats. We are citizens of humanity nestled together to strive for the common good. We are actors on the stage of history, bound to one another by a common destiny of weal and woe. We are sparks of divinity, glowing in a cosmos whose origin and destiny we do not know, but whose mystery we celebrate. We rejoice in that which binds us to one another and to the world of nature and to the cosmic mysteries. We rejoice. Let us rejoice forevermore. And now in silence, let us continue in the spirit of meditation and prayer and reflection. Amen. Now we're going to sing a hymn from what? The teal? Teal, is that the color? People in Oka, this is a teal hymn book. We're going to sing a hymn from the teal hymn book. And you're going to play it through for us once before we begin to sing, right? And you're encouraged to sing in harmony if you would like to carry the harmony rather than the melody. So let us join together in number 413. I'm sorry, it's 10:02. I've selected two readings this morning. The first is a poem by Denise Levertoft, A Gift. Just when you seem to yourself nothing but a flimsy web of questions, you are given the questions of others to hold in the emptiness of your hands. Songbird eggs that can still hatch if you keep them warm, butterflies opening and closing themselves in your cupped hands, trusting you not to injure their scintillant fur, their dust. You are given the questions of others as if they were answers to all you ask. Yes, perhaps this gift is your answer. And from Albert Camus' Return to Tipasa. In the difficult hour we are living, what else can I desire than to exclude nothing and to learn how to braid with white thread and black thread a single cord stretched to the breaking point? In everything I have done or said up to now, I seem to recognize these two forces, even when they work at cross purposes. I have not been able to disown the light into which I was born, and yet I have not wanted to reject the servitudes of this time. For men and women of today, there is an inner way, which I know well from having taken it in both directions, leading from the spiritual hilltops to the capitals of crime. And doubtless one can always rest, fall asleep on the hilltop, or bored with crime. But if one foregoes a part of what is, one must forego being oneself. One must forego living or loving otherwise than by proxy. There is thus a will to live without rejecting anything of life, which is the virtue I honor most in the world. From time to time, at least, it is true that I should like to have practiced it. Inasmuch as few epochs require as much as ours, that one should be equal to the best as to the worst, I should like indeed to shirk nothing and to keep faithfully a double memory. Yes, indeed, there is beauty, and there are the humiliated. Whatever may be the difficulties of the undertaking, I should like never to be unfaithful either to one or to the others. Denise Levertov begins her poem, The Gift, this way. Just when you seem to yourself nothing but a flimsy web of questions, you are given the questions of others to hold in the emptiness of your hands. And she concludes the poem by saying, you are given the questions of others as if they were answers to all you ask. And yes, perhaps this gift is your answer. As a minister, having and heard and accepted the call to ministry, and now accepted the call to your ministry, I cannot do better, I cannot do more justice than these words of Denise Levertov to speak to the combination of sober recognition of my own sense of uncertainty and inadequacy and the great honor it is to be entrusted with this gift of questions. So today, I am humble. I am grateful. I appreciate your generosity of spirit in bringing me into your lives and into the life of this congregation. And I will do my very best to be worthy of your trust as we together deal with these questions. Association Sunday. Well, let's look at that word, association. I often turn to the etymology of a word I want to understand. And when you do that, our word association is derived from a Latin root, associare, which means companion, ally, follower. And this Latin root is also the source for words like sociable and society. So we can say that an association is an organized body of people. It is a society. People who have an interest, an activity, and a purpose in common. We Unitarian Universalists share a statement, the purposes and principles, which speaks to our common interest and activity and purpose. This statement begins, "We, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote," and then it is followed by seven statements of what it is we covenant or promise to affirm and promote. I won't read these seven to you this morning, but you will find them in the white insert in our order of service if you want to make reference to them. And probably, if you've been around Unitarian Universalists for a while, you already have a pretty good sense of what you'll find there. These statements serve as a summary of the grounds for our association. And there is more, to be sure. This is just the beginning, not the end, of what it means to be a Unitarian Universalist congregation in association with other Unitarian Universalist congregations. This morning, we acknowledge and celebrate our relationships with our allies and companions, the other congregations in the Unitarian Universalist Association, on this Association Sunday. The late Unitarian Universalist social ethicist James Luther Adams was a great champion of understanding our congregations as voluntary associations. Voluntary, meaning that we each choose our religious association. We have the freedom of religious association. We have the choice regarding if and when and where we will join in religious association with others. Adams spoke profoundly about the character of religious association in these freely chosen voluntary churches. He described our churches as a body of believers freely joined in a covenant of loyalty to the Holy Spirit of love, intentionally inclusive of dissent, governed by its own members, the reign of the Spirit of love among members displayed, seen in their voluntary assumption of responsibility for the just character of that congregation to which they belonged, and further and beyond that, to the just character of the entire society. Well, I do not need to remind you, but I will anyway. This kind of voluntary religious association is both a large responsibility and can be at the same time endlessly rewarding as we live out our life together in service to one another and to the world. This reminds me of a humorous question about the depth of one's engagement in our Religious Voluntary Association. The question is this: if you were charged with being guilty of being a Unitarian Universalist, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Well, this may seem funny, but there have been times when this was not a humorous or an abstract question. We heard about one of those times this morning in our story of the Flaming Chalice. Yes, people were found guilty by association with Unitarian Universalists. It happened during the McCarthy era, the Red Square. It happened in many places during the Civil Rights Movement and the anti-war movement, among others. And today, we Unitarian Universalists are considered guilty in some circles, guilty by attitude and act, if not guilty under the law, for our support of gay lesbian marriage, for our support of undocumented and documented immigrants, for our environmental justice concerns, for our efforts to end the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, for our concern that all people have access to health care, and the list goes on and on. Guilt by association. The many activities which we together in association take up here at the Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church, these make up the ministry of the congregation. And it is important to remember that there is a congregational ministry, even if and when you do not have a minister. And it's equally important to remember that if you do have a minister, he or she joins you in the ministry of the church, in the service of the church's ministry. There are lay members carrying out ministry as an avocation, and there are ordained ministers carrying out ministry or as a vocation or calling, and they are all joined together in the bond of association. Gordon McKeeman, one of our most distinguished senior ministers, says it this way: ministry is all that we do together. Ministry is that quality of being in community that affirms human dignity, beckons forth hidden possibilities, invites us into deeper, more constant, reverent relationships, and carries forward our heritage of hope and liberation. There is more, to be sure, much more, that makes up the full ministry of the church. The point is that in all we do, all we freely take up as our congregation's ministry, lay ministers and minister members have separate and unique roles which are both essential for the wholeness of its ministry. In the best of times and the worst of times, in season and out of season, during the high moments of achievement and success as persons and as a congregation, and during the lowest moments of uncertainty and fear, through birth and death, and all of life that lies between, the ministry of the church goes on. Another of our distinguished senior ministers, Jack Mendelson, has said, "The future of the liberal church is almost totally dependent on two factors. Great congregations, whether they be large or small, and skilled, effective, dedicated ministers." And he concludes, "The strangest feature of their relationship is that they create one another." And that is what we're trying to do here and now at Lake Country. We live and carry out our ministry together in challenging and troubling times. In Return to Tipasa, Albert Camus speaks profoundly from his own difficult time to our difficult and deeply troubled age. He is aware that he was born into a world of great beauty, which he refers to as the spiritual hilltops of life. And he is also aware that he lived out his life amidst the horror and atrocities and humiliations of his time, what he names the capitals of crime. And he seeks to be equal to what he calls the best as to the worst. And he seeks to maintain a double memory, to be equally faithful to the world's beauty and to the worst in the world, to those who are humiliated and mistreated. And I suggest to you, isn't this our double calling too? In religious association one with another, each with all, we seek to keep vital and alive a ministry of avocational lay members and vocational minister members, which is equal to life's best as it is to life's worst. And we take up this ministry, our ministry, in association with other congregations in the Unitarian Universalist Association. This is the fifth Association Sunday. And recognizing that the fullness of ministry is a shared responsibility of laypersons and ministers, today Unitarian Universalists across the country are gathering to acknowledge and to celebrate the ministerial contributions to our common ministries. The offering today will go to support excellence in these ministries, which well serves each of our congregations, by providing ministerial scholarships and continuing education, which can assist to bring ministers more alive and vital in their work through development of their skills and interest. And if you look at the insert, you will find fuller details today. So this is the purpose for Association Sunday this year. Well, now it's time for the polylog. Who is going to, you're going to moderate that?
We'd like to invite you to share your ideas or insights at this time. Again, if you'd like to raise your hand, an usher will bring a microphone to you. And we'll be glad to hear what you have to say.
Good morning. I'm Barbara again. I'm sorry, I don't have a clue who the gentleman is that you were speaking about or his time. And that makes it kind of difficult. I get the general idea, and I know I want to support the ministry of the Unitarian Universalist Church very strongly. I truly believe in what we're trying to do. But could you answer that question, please?
Albert Camus was a French philosopher, playwright, writer who lived out his life before and during and after World War II. He was a French Algerian, and his story, Return to Tipasa, begins by his laying out his early life experiences of the beauty of the world in Algeria when he was growing up, and then he turns to the world as it became, the horrors of the world, and he calls us to pay attention to both. Is that enough?
My name is Gus, and I really liked what you had to say, Jim, about the ministers and the congregations creating each other, as if it's kind of a conversation. That's the reality, is the conversation, the dialogue between the two and what they have to say to the world. I'm a big believer in spirituality as creative. We have to do things that haven't been done before, and sometimes addressing the ills in our world means we have to think differently and think in a way that's never been thought before. Because obviously the old ways of thinking don't work, or they haven't worked anyway. So I really like that notion, and to me, like I said, it speaks of creativity.
Thank you, Wes.
I guess I don't have any response to that except to say amen, brother.
Sharing your thoughts. Now we will continue with our offertory. If you are a guest today, we do ask that you feel no obligation and that you are our guest. Let there be an offering to sustain and strengthen this place, which is sacred to so many, a community of memory and of hope, for we are now the keepers of the dream.
I invite you to open your hymn books to number 567. Actually, oh no, I'm on the wrong page. To be of use. I want to be with people who submerge in the task. Who stand in the line and haul in their places. The work of the world is common as mud. Botched, it smears the hands, crumbles to dust. Greek amphoras for wine or oil, Hopi vases that held corn, are put in museums, but they were made to be used. Our closing hymn is number 295, Sing Out Praises for the Journey. Around you and see what others have already given to this church. Remember the times your life was enriched by being here. Feel the events that have touched and sustained you, and imagine what a difference we might make in the lives of others today and tomorrow. Amen.
Thank you.